أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. We've been talking about some of the qualities that are found in those who are the true followers of the Ahlul Bayt, those who want to become the close companions, the extraordinary companions that would have a different type of relationship with the Ahlul Bayt, with the Imam of our time, when he arrives, inshaAllah. Or maybe even, if we're good enough, before he starts his move. One of the things that we find in the Holy Quran as a reference to those who will be helping the Imam of our time is a verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the people at the time of the Prophet. When he addresses them in this verse, he says, if you people who are around the Prophet decide not to help my Prophet, decide to turn back, they had come to the Prophet, they had accepted his call. If you decide to turn back and not help my Prophet, I will bring about a people that will help his cause. When we look at the tafsir of this verse, and of course it's a little too obvious, I think, if we look at the verse itself, but looking at the tafsir of it, it becomes more apparent that this verse is actually predicting the future, that the people after the Prophet will turn away from his religion. It's a reference to what happened after the Holy Prophet passed away. Different ahadith connect these two, the verse and what happened afterwards. Now, when it says he will bring about a people that would help his cause, the description is this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه. He will bring a people that he loves them and they love him. I want to talk about this a little bit. Usually when we talk about the wa alaykum assalam, in the context of our practical laws, when we talk about our responsibility to the Ahlul Bayt, our responsibility towards the religion. One way that we address the issue is using the words such as responsibility. In other words, there is an individual that is the Almighty, that has got authority, and we as the servants, as His creation, those who are completely under the authority of the Lord, we have got these responsibilities towards Him. If we don't fulfill our responsibilities, we're going to be held accountable on the day of judgment. A lot of verses address us, the people, in this language. All the verses that talk about punishment, they're trying to cause us to realize this accountability and responsibility. There's so many of the verses of the Holy Quran that talk about this. Very harsh language is used. On the day of judgment, it is so severe. You will see the women, the mothers, leaving their babies and running for their own sake. The love of the mother between, the relationship between mother and her child is a very strong relationship. But it's so severe that the mother is going to be leaving her child behind. You'll think that people are drunk, going about not knowing what direction to have, but they're not really drunk. The pain and the punishment is very severe. This is one verse that talks about it. Another verse, لَهُمْ مَقَامِحُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. You have these hot metal chains that anytime they're, you know, they're like in your skin, that every time you want to move away from it, they just pull that and bring you back. Okay. And every time you get thirsty, this liquid is given to you to drink, that the more you drink it, the more thirsty you feel. All of these are trying to tell us that, look, be careful what you do. The Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has got authority over you. We don't feel it in this world. The verses of the Holy Quran talk about this. Al-mulk yawma'idhin lillah. Sovereignty, complete authority, is with Allah on the day of judgment and in the hereafter. The verse doesn't deny the existence of that in this world. The fact is, at all times, no one can escape at any time the authority of Allah. Read in Dua Kumin, وَلَا يُمْكِنُ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ حُكُومَتِكَ. In this world, there's no way. Whatever we do, we think we have the option of doing it, and we are choosing to do it. Yes, we do have that freedom, but without the will of God, we are not able to do anything. We are completely under His control. How that makes sense with divine justice, free will, and all of that, that's a discussion we can have. But Tawheed is this. This is a reality. The only thing is, this world is deceptive. Okay, we don't see that. But what happens once we leave this world, we start to realize that. Okay, and of course, it's too late if we didn't realize it before. So this is one type of language that we find in the Holy Quran, in the Ahadith. Even the Ahlul Bayt use it, and we see in the Du'as, we've talked about this before, in the Du'as, it talks about this punishment and that fear of the punishment. That's always there. However, there's another type of language that is used in the Holy Quran and in our Ahadith and our supplications that is at a different level. For the general public, you need to talk about the responsibilities in that way. It's like human beings, okay, if we want to give an example and make a comparison. A child that is growing up, the first few years, okay, when they are able to walk now, okay, and go around, do things, pick things up, they don't really understand what they're doing. They don't know what heat means. Okay. If you want to show them something is bad, okay, you can only explain to them through pain or pleasure. That's the only thing they understand. If some pain is inflicted upon them, they realize this is bad. You don't go towards it. Okay. If they feel good about something, okay, they'll do it over and over again. They'll like to do it. A human being that has been given this intellect, although after that childhood we feel like we have a better understanding of things, we start to realize things about it, but from an Islamic perspective, we're still children. Okay, we need to be talked to mainly in that language. Okay. If you don't do this, you're going to be punished. If you do this, you're going to be given such and such in the hereafter, this reward, the other reward. All of these are mentioned. Because that's the language most of us understand. And that's the only language that most of us understand. There's another language that is used. And that is the language of love. Hubb. This is at a different level. In this verse, it says, those people that will be the companions of the Imam, they are going to be those that يُحِبُّهُمْ, Allah loves them, and they love Allah. They do things out of the love of Allah. Recite salawat. What does the love of Allah mean? Usually the way we are taught our religion, the way we understand, the way we've been given the interpretation of the verses of the Holy Quran, it's difficult to really picture loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think. We may say it because we find in our literature, we find it in the dua, but to actually feel the love of Allah, it is difficult to picture. That's why when we want to talk about love, we usually talk about people and loving them. Love of the Ahlul Bayt. That's something a little more tangible. We can understand that. Okay. When we want to feel love for good things, okay, we talk about the love of the Ahlul Bayt. That is understandable. But how is it that we are going to have the love of Allah? What does that mean? And doing things out of the love of Allah. I'll give you a couple of verses of the Holy Quran that talks about this love. In one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. The believers have a very strong love of Allah. When we look at the Ahlul Bayt and their description of the description of the Ahlul Bayt in the Holy Quran, we know there's numerous verses that talk about the Ahlul Bayt in the Holy Quran in different languages. We find this quality about the Ahlul Bayt. The love of Allah. In a story, it is mentioned actually in one of the descriptions. And this story is the one found in Surah Insan. We've all heard the story that they had a nadr, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, salamullah alayhima, as children. They were ill. They made a nadr, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Fatima, they made a nadr in their little home, that if they are cured, if Allah cures them, that they're going to fast for 3 days. Okay. They fasted for 3 days. Every night, when they wanted to break their fast, someone came to the door and asked them for food. What was their food? The only food that they had was bread that was provided by Hazrat Fatima salamullah alayha. She, back in the days, you know, it's not very easy. It is very easy today, but back in the days, to make that flour and to make bread from that, it was something that took the whole day. Get the grains, whether it's barley or wheat, from outside, grind that, make flour out of it, and then make the dough, let it sit. They don't have yeast, obviously, during the time. You have to let it sit for a while, and then you get the oven ready with wood. Okay, get all that, you know, you do go through all of that, and you're fasting. Okay, just imagine that. You're fasting. You prepare that bread. Now, at iftar time, they want to eat that, and someone comes to the door. The person who actually says, "Let's give," is Hazrat Fatima salamullahi. Everyone, she wants to give her share. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein give their share. Amirul Mu'mineen gives their share. They're left with nothing but water. Now, when this story is mentioned in the Holy Quran, the part of it that deals with this bit says the following: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا. There's two ways to interpret this verse. One way is much more profound than the other. Okay. One way that we usually probably hear it is where we say that out of the love of Allah, this is given. Okay. What does that mean? I love Allah. Okay. We have the love of Allah. Love of Allah says, listen to Him. Okay. He says, give charity. Now people are coming, sa'il, person who asks you, whoever they are, whether they're yatim, they're asir, or they're miskin, they don't have wealth, they are poor, okay, give them. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Out of love for Allah, yes, I'm hungry, I feel that, but you know, I like to give in the way of Allah because I like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But apparently, what the verse is trying to say is emphasizing that while they were doing that, they were feeling that love of Allah. It's very difficult. Picture it. Try to feel it. Okay, that feel that hunger. And you want to give something, all of what you have, the only thing that you have left is going to be water. Okay, giving that, a lot of people may give it, but the way you give it is going to be different. Okay. One way you give it is, you know, I really like to have that. I don't like to give it away, but I do practically give it away. Okay. Another way to give that away is that with complete pleasure, I actually enjoy giving this away. Okay. These are two different things. Very different. What the verse is saying apparently is the second. When they're giving this, they're not like, we have to give it or anything like that. No. They enjoy giving that in the way of Allah. This is a completely different level of action. The Urafa talk about the love of Allah. Sometimes they emphasize on this so much that a lot of people think, which is not right, that they don't believe, or they don't talk about the punishment, or they don't have that fear. People that are not very acquainted with it, when they read their works or they hear their talk, they go under the impression that you're not supposed to have the fear of Allah. That's not what they're saying. What they say is that this love of Allah is so strong, if you come to have that, that sometimes even the fear that exists is not the fear of punishment per se. It is the fear of not being loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the fear. Okay. If you look at Dua Kumail, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The phrase where he says, Sabartu ala azabik, فكيف أصبر على فراقك. I can take the punishment, but how can I take being away from you? Okay. That is the concern. The concern isn't the punishment itself. The concern is that I am away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can, in another phrase of that dua, says, how can you separate me from yourself and from your ahibba, those who you love, or your awliya'ik? In another part of that dua, the Imam says, picturing himself in hellfire, he says, أُقْسِمُ صَادِقًا, I swear truthfully, لَإِن تَرَكْتَنِي نَاطِقًا, if you allow me to speak in the hellfire, if you allow me to speak, لَأَذِجَّنَّ بَيْنَ أَطْبَاقِهَا ذَجِيجَ الْآمِنِينَ, I'll be screaming the scream of a person who has hope. And it goes on and then says, وَلَأُنَادِيَنَّكَ, and I will call upon you, أَيْنَ كُنت, where are you, يَا وَلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The wali, the authority over the mu'mineen. Ya ghayata amal al-arifin, the extent of the dreams of the arifin, those who know. Ya habiba qulub al-sadiqin, this is the language that we're supposed to be moving towards. This is the type of iman that we were talking about, the true companions of the Ahlul Bayt have, is this type of iman. Okay. The concern is not the azab per se, it is being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that bu'd, of course, obviously not physically. When we look at the Holy Quran and the ahadith, one of the very important examples of this type of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Musa, Prophet Musa. He's considered in our ahadith almost as a symbol of close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That kalimullah that we say, speaking to Allah, is referring to that very close relationship. The verse that talks about the 40 nights of Prophet Musa going to the miqat of Allah and meeting Allah, according to the literal translation of it, it is referring to this type of relationship, the love. Recite a salawat, please. When this love exists, brothers and sisters, our practices will have a completely different approach to them. One of the reasons why we're talking about keeping our generations, okay, our youth attached to the religion, one of the reasons why we feel that and we see that the youth, a lot of them, are not being attracted towards the religion is because the way we explain the religion, the way we talk about religion, is at best, we only talk about correctly one aspect of religion. which does not have that love and that attachment to it. If we start to have some practices or explanations of the religion that would cause that attachment, it would make a huge difference. It is that attachment that causes people to move forward. If we look at the scene in Karbala, okay, only love can describe what happened there. Only love. You know, on the night of Ashura, the Imam told his companions that, you know, you came here for a purpose. It doesn't seem to be going through. You can all leave. I take off the bay'ah that you have with me. You can go. You're free to go. You can take my family as well. What keeps a person there, okay, if we think it is only going to be that fear of Allah, the talking about the rewards in the hereafter, that's not going to keep people there. The people that are at that level are going to be leaving. It is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that keeps people attached to that extent. It is the love of Allah that causes Imam Hussein, that according to the ahadith, the reports, that when it gets closer to the time for him to depart from this world, okay, the more bright his face becomes. Okay, it is only because of the love of Allah. Because he is going towards liqa'ullah. That's the final destination. Liqa'ullah, meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the final destination. That's the best thing we can achieve. For the urafa, what they talk about is this. They're always talking about liqa'ullah. Now, how can we achieve that? What are some of the instructions that we have in regards to this? One thing that we find in the Holy Quran that directs us in this direction is Surah Ma'idah verse 83, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Christians, and when they hear the message of the Holy Prophet, I'll use this to explain this concept that I'm about to. It says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. When they hear what is revealed to the Prophet, you will see their eyes start to flow with tears from the truth that they see in it. Love, okay, this is a love that they have. You can't express these emotions if you don't have love. When they heard the signs of Allah, just the verses that are being recited, it would cause them to shed tears. The tears would start flowing. But what the verse is saying, why? It says because that they identified the haqq that was there. They knew about the haqq that was there. If you remember the part of Dua Kumail that we read, Ya ghayata amal al-arifin, the extent of the dream of the arifin, the only way to be able to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to know Him. The reason why we don't love Him is because we don't have actual knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why we can have love of the Ahlul Bayt or any other love, the reason why we love the things that we love, okay, the worldly things that we love, why do we love them? Okay, there's an attraction that we have naturally, and we find it in that thing. We have knowledge of that. Okay, the love between a man and his spouse, okay, or a woman and her spouse. It's because there's an attraction that they find in him. They know of that in him or in her. If we don't find that, okay, then we're not going to have that love towards them. The love of this dunya, okay, there's an attraction that we have. Nice cars, well, that's beauty. That's something that we identify as beauty. When we look at it and we see it, we're attracted towards it. We start having love. Of course, that's very, you know, low-level love. It's not really the real type of love. But anyway, for us to understand, the spiritual drive that we have, the spiritual attractions that we have, that sometimes because of our attraction towards the dunya and towards the things that are not divine, it causes that part of our being to start get dull, okay, and we don't find those attractions attractive anymore. But anyhow, those attractions that we have, if they find someone that has these attractions, we'll start feeling attracted to them. When we find that in the Ahlul Bayt, we read the stories, and that's why we're told in the Manabir, some people say that it's wrong, or you know, they don't like hearing or talking about the Fadal of the Ahlul Bayt too much. We're like, oh, we heard it enough. No, still talking about it is good. We got to talk about the Fadal of the Ahlul Bayt. When you hear the Fadal of the Ahlul Bayt, you start to love them. That's where the love is coming from. There's an attraction, there's something in us that we like these traits. When we find them in someone like the Ahlul Bayt, we start to like that. The reason why we said the urafa love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because arif means someone that knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. It is the knowledge that is lacking. The first step is even lacking. Conceptual knowledge even of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lacking. We don't even have that. Conceptual knowledge, meaning that what does the word tawheed mean? Okay, there's a type of knowledge that is called ilmul huduri. Okay. Presential knowledge, they've translated it. Okay. It's a type of knowledge that is beyond our capacity to understand in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have an experience with it, with ourselves, the way we feel our own existence, the way we feel our own knowledge is knowledge by presence, they call it. Okay, we feel it because it's there. Our soul feels the existence of it. We don't need to be told. Okay, but there's conceptual knowledge. We read books, we understand these concepts about a reality that exists, okay, without going and experiencing it, just reading about it, we have a knowledge regarding it. It's different than experiencing it, but we get a glimpse of that reality. We don't even have this conceptual knowledge downright about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Tawheed mean? Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because of our incorrect understanding of Allah or incomplete understanding of Allah, we don't feel that attachment. We don't feel that love. When we say Alhamdulillah, we don't know what that means. We're just saying it, mentioning those words. We don't understand what that means. When we say Subhanallah, we don't know what that means. When we read the du'as, we don't know what that means. Okay, we're just reading it because we're told we're going to get rewards. See, that's the language of the lower level that we talk about. That's not the language of love. You're going to get, when we talk about some of the mustahabbat, what's the significance of it? Okay, if you do 100 la ilaha illallah, you're going to get this much rewards. If you walk to, for this ziyarat, you're going to get, I don't know, 100 trees or whatever in paradise. Okay, that's the language that we want to understand it. But that's the lower level. The dua, the purpose of it is to raise our level. The language we find in some of the duas, especially like the munajat, that is recommended for the month of Sha'ban. These munajats, I mean, that's a different language completely. The knowledge that exists in these du'as is to give us that taste, kind of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one other thing that we find in our ahadith that is important about the love of Allah is something that I will quote the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi in regards to. The Imam says, إِذَا تَخَلَّ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا سَمَى وَوَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ حُبِّ اللَّهِ. If a mu'min, a believer, leaves the dunya, leaves the attractions of the dunya, sama, he will get elevated. وَوَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ حُبِّ اللَّهِ. He will feel the sweetness of the love of Allah. First part of it, إِذَا تَخَلَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ, a believer, referring to that, you know, they have a certain knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why they believe in Him. But then the second part, إِذَا تَخَلَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. The love of Allah and love of the dunya cannot come together. Okay. You can't have both of them. Love of the dunya is a distraction from the love of Allah. When you look at the urafa, they have nothing to do with the dunya and the attractions of the dunya. They're usually so poor. You may have heard this. I think we read this from Aytullah Misbah's encounter with his teacher, Allama Tabatabai, was in the recent history, is definitely one of the highest urafa that we know of. Okay, there may be others that we don't even know of, but of the ones that we know, Allama Tabatabai is just beyond what I can comprehend. He says, Aytullah Misbah says, that one day we were coming back from Tehran, or he ended up in a circle that is on the way, a roundabout that is on the way to Tehran, and he says that we saw Allama Tabatabai sitting on the ground, and we told him that, you know, we saw our teacher, he's sitting on the ground over there, nobody's around, no car, and that's not his house, what is he sitting there for? We went to him and we asked him, you know, why are you sitting here? And he replied that, you know, without any type of course, not complaining or anything like that at all, that I didn't have the money to pay for a cab to take me, and I'm just waiting for someone to take me. I can't walk either. He couldn't walk home. The urafa, It didn't really bother him that he didn't have enough money to pay for him, you know, and things are cheap in Iran, or at least at those times were extremely cheap. It didn't take much to pay for his cab to go home. He didn't even have that much. Okay. Before that, he had some wealth. And when he was in Tabriz, he had the wealth. But having it or not having, the attractions are not something that would attract the arif. Okay. The love of this dunya, the attractions of this dunya and loving them, is not something that's going to conform with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's like poison in the love of Allah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبي النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي وخزان العلم ومنتهى الحلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O household of prophethood. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O household that the angels used to come to you day in and day out. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Mazlum. Sallallahu alayka ayyuha ash-shahid bi Karbala. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O Imam al-Husayn, my beloved oppressed Imam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, the Imam that was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates with a thirsty mouth. The love of the Imam for Allah is displayed very greatly by the Imam on the day of Ashura, in the morning when the fight began. The Imam had companions around him to protect him. Those companions went one by one, they became shaheed. His household, his son, his nephews and relatives came to protect him. But after every one of them had become shaheed, our beloved Imam was all alone. The enemy surrounded him, he would fight them. Every once in a while he would come close to the tents, announce his being alive by saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Gradually the Imam got tired. At one point they say he was on the ground, on his knees. The enemy wanted to see how much strength the Imam has. Shamr la'natullahi alayhi said, O people, attack the tents of Husayn. The Imam called on them, Ya Shi'at Abi Su'al Abi Sufyan, O followers of the family of Abu Sufyan, if you don't believe in a religion, at least be free men. I'm still alive, how can you attack my camp? my women and children while I'm alive. But the time came where the mal'oon came close to him to finish the job, and the last moments our Imam was saying the following words. He said, "Oh Allah, I believe in you, la ma'buda siwak. There is no Lord but you. La'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Wasaya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Allahumma inna nas'aluka wa nad'uuk. Bismika al-azim al-a'zam. Al-a'az al-ajal al-akram. الزهراء وأبيها وبعالها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بعدد ما خاط به بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. Oh Allah, we ask you to hasten the return of our Imam. Oh Allah, we ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to enable us to be the companions of our Imam. Oh Allah, we ask you to engrave your love in our heart. Oh Allah, we ask you to prolong the life of and give good health to all our maraja and especially our leader. Oh Allah, we ask you to give good health and prolong the life of all those who are helping the cause of Islam. Oh Allah, we ask you to free all those who are under oppression. Oh Allah, we ask you to relieve all those who are under hardship. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant us all of what we need. Bin Nabi wa Ali, rahimallahu man qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat.